In a police station, there was a captain and a rookie getting ready to start his very first day on the job. The captain said to him, "One last thing, Officer Markham, before you go." He said, "Yes, Captain." He goes, "I want you to look out for the youths that are wearing the baggy trousers, because that is the mark of the Hooligans Club." "Yes, sir," said the officer back. And the captain began laughing after he walked out the door. Rookies were always so gullible. However, he did feel differently later when he began processing the paperwork for 17 wrongful arrests. Why? For baggy-trousered teenagers. Happy April Fool's Day, ladies and gentlemen, bold Americans. Today, we're going to talk about global intelligence. Perhaps you didn't know that the global average IQ is 100, and the United States has an average IQ of 98. We're going to break down the numbers, which states are the smartest, and which states have the lowest IQ as measured. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
April Fool's Day is not something that just started yesterday, unless you are gullible. In fact, it's been happening for several centuries throughout different cultures. Many people are still trying to come up with where did it all begin, but historians believe it may date all the way back to 1582, when France moved from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, as designated by the Council of Trent in 1563. And in the Julian calendar, as in the Hindu calendar, the new year always began with April 1st, the spring equinox. And people were slow to get the news about the Council of Trent that in 1582, moving to the Gregorian calendar, they were celebrating the spring equinox. Meanwhile, everybody else was going, "Look at these April fools. It's January. Ha, ha, ha." And so that led to pranks having paper fished placed on their backs and being referred to as Poison d'Avril, April fish, which is to symbolize a young, easily caught fish or a gullible person. In fact, it's reason why we also believe that signs like "Kick Me" eventually were pranked to put on the back of individuals that they also felt were gullible. Historians also looked at ancient Rome, where they found there was festivals where people dressed up in disguises mocking fellow citizens, and the magistrates were said to be inspired by the Egyptian legend of Isis, Osiris, and Seth. And then other people say that April Fool's Day was tied to the vernal equinox, the first day of spring in the northern hemisphere, when Mother Nature often would fool people with its changing and unpredictable weather, snowing right after it was 65 degrees. And so whatever that history is, we can see that throughout the centuries, people have played pranks, told stories, so much so that it's become a tradition in our modern society to make light of it. In America and in England, there's been many reports of people trying to get one over on the gullible public. One of my favorites is in 1985. It mentioned a pitcher by the name of Sid Finch. Now, according to this account, Sid could pitch 168 miles per hour. And Lenny Dykstra, when he was on the Mets, witnessed this. And Sports Illustrated writer George Plimpton tricked all of his readers. He wrote this story so well that people were expecting that finally we would have this phenom that had a hellishly good arm. But that's not where, you know, the best one was. The BBC has one of my favorite photos and stories from the 1950s when they said that Swiss farmers were having a record spaghetti crop, and they had footage of people pulling spaghetti noodles from trees. It's a great photo if you've never seen it. And perhaps my favorite political April Fool's Day trick is from NPR, when the National Public Radio in 1992 ran a spot with former President Richard Nixon saying that he was going to run for president again, which caught the entire country by the surprise. Thankfully, it was only an actor, because AI was not around back then, so it was someone who could mimic his voice, but this still got many people. We also, in 1996, Taco Bell told everybody they purchased the Liberty Bell and they were renaming it to the Taco Liberty Bell. But in 1998, 2 years later, is probably one of the more gullible of all commercials that were done for April Fool's Day. Burger King advertised that they had come out with a left-handed Whopper. Now, that sounds kind of funny when you hear it, right? A left-handed cheeseburger, a left-handed French fry. The problem is, there were a ton of clueless customers that were going into Burger King and sincerely, not jokingly, sincerely asking for the fake sandwich. They were requesting. I'm sure there were some people that were saying that's a joke. They got it. But there were other people that were sincere in their request. And so there are a ton of different jokes that have been played throughout all of centuries. In fact, I'm sure that there will be some that are getting you today at some point in time, because April Fool's Day is that search for the lighthearted story where we can find the gullible. What I would tell you, though, is we don't have to go too far to find the gullible anymore. In fact, just go to your most recent social media network, whichever one's your favorite. I mean, I posted a show last week to try to educate people about artificial intelligence and what is possible with video as well, and how realistic these voices can get. And I had two people who believed that Donald Trump endorsed my podcast, that they did not get that it was artificial intelligence. They did not listen to the episode. They simply saw my promo on one of my social media platforms. And I had another three people that believed that Joe Biden gave me a shout out since I'm a Delawarean and that I had met him years ago. And that was really nice of Joe Biden to do so. Got messages to me. These people are gullible. And they're not dumb people, especially a couple of the people I know are pretty intelligent individuals. So why are we so easily duped? Why can we believe the parodies? Why do we believe something that's sensational versus something that we should really be able to call out and say, okay, yeah, Joe Biden's not doing a recording for Greg. Donald Trump's not doing this. They don't even care about Greg Bolden. Well, actually, that's not really true. It's not true at all. I know Joe Biden does care about my show because of some of the episodes that I've done and people that are close to him that have sent me messages back. So I do know that while the president does not listen to my show, I know that friends of the Biden family have had to delete their relationship with me on social media for fear that it could be seen as endorsing my views and endanger or jeopardize their friendships that they have. And I understand that. That's fine. If you can't be friends with me officially through the social media networks and we just got to be friends outside of that, that's fine. I don't label my friendships by the social media allegiances. All right. But why are people gullible? Well, have you ever looked at IQ? Does IQ even stand for the ability to be smart in conversation? In the United States, the smartest state is Massachusetts, according to IQ, the intelligence quotient. But the United States has an average IQ of 98, with the global average in 2019 being 100. I'd be very curious, by the way, 5 years later, to find out where IQ stands globally at this point in time. Now, the average IQ around the world is actually at 82, according to wisevoter.com. When they talk about the voter quotient of IQs, they state that 85 to 115, when you look at the various countries, states, and even geographical regions, is an average IQ. My IQ, I know exactly where it stands because I've been tested by a psychologist before when I was younger. I have seen where my scores are. I will let you figure out where my IQ may fall. I'm not going to put that number out there, but I certainly have kind of an enlightenment based upon my numbers and what I'm reading. Now, the cognitive abilities and party identity of the United States oftentimes will relate directly with their IQ. This study that I'm going to cite is from Noah Carl. You can find it on sciencedirect.com. In 2014, Carl analyzed data from the United States General Social Survey, and he found that individuals who identified in 2014 as Republican had a slightly higher verbal intelligence than those who identified as Democrat. And he also wanted to make sure that an important qualification was that the measure of verbal intelligence used was relatively crude. Namely, it was a 10-word vocabulary test. So this study examined three other measures of cognitive ability from the GSS. It was a test of probability knowledge, a test of verbal reasoning, and an assessment by the interviewer of how well the respondent understood the survey questions. And in all three cases, individuals who identified as Republican scored slightly higher than those who identified as Democrat. The adjusted, unadjusted differences are 1 to 3 IQ points, 2 to 4 IQ points, and 2 to 3 IQ points, each of those three categories, respectively. And so analysis indicated that the association between cognitive ability and party identity are largely but not totally accounted for by a socioeconomic position, because individuals with a higher cognitive ability tended to have a better socioeconomic position. And individuals with better socioeconomic positions were more likely to identify as Republican. And so this was consistent with Carl's hypothesis that a higher intelligence among classically liberal Republicans compensates for lower intelligence among socially conservative Republicans. Very interesting study. Now, I'm curious. These were done in 2014. In 2025, I feel like after 2020, society has been dumbed down. And that could be for a number of reasons, but mostly when I look at the states, I look at the reading level of the states, the math proficiency level of the states, we are failing our young people in making sure that they are qualified to read, comprehend, and do mathematics. We are falling behind the rest of the world. In fact, the numbers in 2019 show it. About only 7 out of 10 individuals have reading proficiency and 6 out of 10 have math proficiency. And yes, the socioeconomic divide helps worsen that, because when people do not have access to the ability to afford books or have family members that they themselves have been able to work on their social reasoning, their verbal reasoning, their cognitive abilities, because of inability to have nutrition, inability to have resources, then that can lower. And so we do have a problem in this country. But out of all the different parties, I'm proud to say that did you know that the people that have the highest IQ, according to the study, were libertarians? That's correct. They actually identified in here that out of all the different thoughts that people may have politically, that libertarians showed the highest IQ, the highest verbal intelligence and cognitive abilities in order to be able to predict the future. In fact, they were even 2.93 IQ points higher. And so this test and this research that's out there tells me that perhaps what we have in our country at this point in time is not just an issue of a divide between Republicans and Democrats and libertarians, the independents, but we have a divide at this point in time with cognitive abilities. And we have people who literally are mentally retarded that are able to vote. And yes, I'm saying that, and I know how absolutely insensitive that sounds, but I use that word on purpose because there's a classification of low IQ. If the mean in the United States is a 93, that means we have a large portion of people below an 85, which means they classify as a low IQ. In fact, the Supreme Court says if you have an IQ underneath 70, you have mental retardation. That's the reason why I use that phrase. You can see this in the Supreme Court during the ruling Atkins versus Virginia, where they say you cannot impose capital punishment on people with mental retardation. So if people qualify under what is being known as being retarded underneath an IQ score of a 70, then they also vote. They also have ideals. Where do they get their ideas? Well, likely it's the first thing that they hear and the thing that makes the easiest amount of sense to them, because they're not going to be able to comprehend the way that the rest of society can comprehend the larger issues. And I'm not talking about one person out of 100. In a mean average, we're talking about 20 out of 100. 20 out of 100 people that are in previous 20th century called imbeciles, idiots, feeble-minded, and morons. I was recently watching a video. Why can we not say retarded? But yet we can still call people an imbecile. We can still call people an idiot, feeble-minded, a moron. And it's because it's politically incorrect. We can't use that word. But meanwhile, it's the definition that's been used throughout time. Now, idiot had always been where a person that had an intellectual disability, it was below 3 years. An imbecile was an intellectual disability that was less severe than being an idiot in a mental age between 3 and 7 years. A moron was between 8 and 12 years of a mental age. And that's the way that they used to term IQ. Now you do it, it's politically incorrect. But when you call an idiot, you're really saying that somebody acts as if they're below 3 years of age. When you call somebody an imbecile, you're saying that they're 3 to 7 years. A moron, you're calling them an 8 to 12-year-old. At some point in time, we've forgotten this. We've forgotten that we had words to talk about IQ, and instead we said, oh, you can't say that anymore. You can't say that. You're going to get canceled. I mean, even this episode, me saying it, people might. I'm trying to give an education here. But people with lower IQ are not going to realize that I'm giving an education on April Fool's Day, and they're going to call for me to stop using these hurtful words. Meanwhile, I'm trying to teach, because if we don't know our history, we seemed destined to repeat it. The Biden White House may be showing low IQ for respect for others. See, children of the National Guard families were invited to submit Easter egg designs to the White House for their annual egg roll party. However, those designs were not allowed at all to have any religious imagery. Wait a minute. Easter. President Biden, I know for a fact that you've sat your rear end in church at a Catholic church every single Sunday just outside the city of Wilmington. I won't say the church, but I know that you were there. I've seen you there. And I know that you understand what Easter is about. Can you please explain to me what the point of an egg roll party is on Easter and what an Easter egg design is when you tell children that they cannot have religious imagery? Can somebody please explain to me Easter while taking out religion? Because Easter is on the Christian liturgical calendar. The entire purpose of Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It's Good Friday. Christ is sentenced to death. You see it in the Bible. 3 days later, the stone is rolled away, and Jesus comes back to take away the sins of the world and make the covenant new. Now, if you have an IQ, then you realize celebrating Easter without Jesus and the Jesus story is basically just saying, you know what, we want a fun day on Sunday. We're going to pretend that there's this mythical creature coming around dropping Easter eggs left and right with chocolate candies on it, which come from the corporation Hershey's and Mars. And oh my God, how does he get around all this? This Easter bunny is phenomenal, which is why in my household on Easter, you know, we've never celebrated the Easter bunny. We put the focus where the focus should be. The focus is that Easter is a celebration of the saving from the sin of the world. It is Jesus sacrificing his life to make new the covenant for all people, that you have hope and salvation should you believe. Now, that is just an IQ thing. that basically we should have. Now, one of the submissions from the National Guard that came out in the story is the submission must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements. So what the hell is Joe Biden and the Biden administration celebrating on Easter at the White House? Oh, I see it now. It took me a second to realize what it was, but I've had several friends send this to me. My wife sent this to me as well. There's a proclamation for 2024 on Easter Sunday. Well, that's good. Joe Biden has decided he was going to make a proclamation of Easter. Well, maybe he can finally recognize the religious aspect in this proclamation. Let me just read what he put out there. All right. March 29th, 2024, a proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility 2024 for March 31st. Wait a minute. He says, on Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal. Wait a minute. So this March 31st has nothing to do with Easter. It's an official proclamation for LGBTQ. I'm sorry. If you are a marginalized community minority, like a black person in this country, I want to apologize to you. Because it seems to me that the LGBTQ plus community has done a much better job lobbying Washington, D.C., than basic human rights of the color of your skin. Because I'm pretty sure that the LGBTQ plus community has a day almost every single day of the week, it seems like at this point. Every month, I feel like there's something else. Target puts something out one month. After that, you know, you see it at the next store putting it out. Then another corporation recognizes them for that month, and the government has something. They light up the White House with red, white, blue, yellow, green, Roy G. B. Hugh. It's lit up all different ways. Now, I will not pick on the White House because I will give you the facts. This day, this LGBTQ plus IQZ, whatever, Proclamation Transgender Day of Visibility was started in 2009. This is not something that is a intentional jab at Easter or a jab at Christianity. But it is something that exposes the priorities of our president. It exposes the priorities of the administration. There should be a proclamation on both sides. Right? Designating that there are people in this country that are witnessing Easter. Designating there are people that are marginalized in the LGBTQ plus community. I firmly will say, hey, you know what? Sure. Anybody. If there needs to be a day of visibility to make sure that there's not hate crimes against people, there needs to be a day of visibility to make sure there's not extreme actions taken unfairly against individuals, then by all means, make it a day of visibility if it's a national health crisis public thing that we need to do. This is not me attacking the LGBTQ plus community. This is me simply pointing out with IQ that we have a day for this every other day of the week. And yeah, there's another one, but why does this need a proclamation day when it's something that's been having for the last 15 years in this country? If we've been doing this since 2009, why does it need yet another day? I'm just asking the question, right? Just asking the question. Now, many people are absolutely gullible. They're going to believe the first thing that they hear and not question anything. I got a text message last week, and we went back and forth. I talked about the fact that one of my listeners didn't believe Kayla, and this listener has been continuing to text. And so some of my favorite parts that really show their IQ is stating that I'm not a journalist. And one of the reasons I'm not a journalist is I did not cite my sources when talking about the Baltimore Bridge just last week. Let me explain something to people that are slower at processing information. When I'm doing a story or I'm talking on a podcast, and I'm offering additional information to what I see, oftentimes what I will do is I will pick up the phone and I will text people that I know that are in the industry to ask for their opinion on what they see. I do not, because it's not a journalism story, it's a podcast. I do not, in those cases, expose their names. I don't do that because it's unfair to them, because they have no direct knowledge from the source. They weren't in the port of Baltimore to see it for themselves. But what I can tell you is this. The people that I spoke with are masters in the ocean. They're sailors. There are people that have been on boats. There are people that have brought tugboats out to get boats like this. There are individuals that have been had their own brains picked on the situation at hand. And what would they do? Should they still be active? There are people that have served for multiple years in the United States Navy. And when those individuals start asking the question, the anchor was dropped on the left-hand side of the ship. Why does the ship then move to the right? Or when they say that the black box should not have lost power because it has its own backup power. So that shows there's a huge red flag, and the fact that 2 minutes are missing, that should be something that a person with high IQ says, oh, we should get some more information about this. Why is it that the black box stopped recording? Could the catastrophic failure be something larger than just a catastrophic failure? That's just a question. And when the boat continues to move in that direction, cuts to the right, and at the last minute moves to the left again, why weren't more anchors dropped? Why was it just one anchor on the left-hand side? Why didn't they drop the back anchor? And there's proper terminology for all this. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself by pretending I remember everything I was told, but I can just tell you that I was told there's three different anchors on that ship. And the left-hand side was dropped, which makes no sense as to why the boat turned to the right. It should have pulled the boat to the left, missing the bridge. Now, there are likely reasonable explanations for all of this. But a high IQ person is going to ask the questions. A low IQ person is going to say, stop your conspiracy theories and stop asking this. It's dangerous. Nope. See, a low IQ person is actually the one that's dangerous. A low IQ person is not the one that's going to look deeper into a situation and think about why what's happening is happening and why they may not see it. A low IQ person is going to hear the artificial intelligence or the fake video and think that it's real. A low IQ person is going to watch a video of Donald Trump saying there's good people on both sides and not watch the rest of the context of the clip and the video. A low IQ person's going to hear that Joe Biden is a racist because he did a funeral for a KKK. Oh, that's right. He actually did do the funeral for him. I forgot about that. Okay, well, scratch that one from the record. You see where I'm going with this? We have the ability to be average. We have the ability to be above average, and we have the ability to be low average. There's a lot of low average thought, low hanging fruit that is holding us back and being gullible and April Fools in this country. We do have choices to make in this country, and unfortunately, because there are so many people that are in on it, we are left right now with dumb and dumber as our options, and actually dumb and dumberest as part of our options in this country. We got three different options currently in the major election cycle, if you want to include RFK Jr. in that. Now, I've been interviewing libertarian candidates. I've been speaking with the different campaigns like Michael Rechtenwald, Mike Termott. When Aaron Day was running as a libertarian, I had him on the show as well. But there's others as well. Lars is running for the libertarian nomination. Now, that does not mean that I would endorse any of those candidates either. I can tell you that there is one person out of all the libertarians I've spoken with that I was very impressed with. I'm going to be bringing him back onto the show. That's Mike Termott. There's something relatable about this guy. There's something I like about him. I'm going to bring him back on because now I have better questions for him into the future. And so I want to get that high IQ for you, my bold American listener, in order to understand things better. Stop telling people or stop shutting yourself down from the ability to look beyond what you're reading and what you're being told. Because I can tell you, there are agendas, and maybe your comprehension is not good enough in order to pay attention to it. And so you're going to need to immerse yourself with trusted sources. If you're sitting there right now and you're going, huh, I feel personally exposed by this episode, that is not my intent. But maybe think about, how were you in English class in grade school and high school? And did you go to college? Are you an English major? Or was that not your strong suit? Think about, where would you score on an IQ test if you took one? Now, if you want to take a free IQ test, there's a number of them out there. You can take them. They take about 10 minutes. The good ones, like the Mensa IQ Challenge, if you take that one, that's the one I took. That one will take you a little bit longer, but it's timed. The faster you complete it, by the way, the higher your score can be. So you have Mensa International, which is Mensa, M-E-N-S-A.org. Feel free to give yourself the IQ test. You got Brainable, which is not a Mensa certified test, but still something good. And obviously, if you've ever had like the Wechsler test taken before, then you already know where you stand. But if you know your IQ, or you know that you have a deficit in a certain area, think about how that deficit could be better served where people can help you out. Because yes, there are people that have cognitive disabilities. There are people with low classifications that are not capable of thinking in the same way. Intellectual disabilities are a real thing in this country and throughout the world. Matter of fact, there are some countries that are operating below a 60 IQ, which means majority of their country would be considered at an idiot or an imbecile standpoint. Some stories that I really liked of the Gullible to end the show. There was once a person that attended this meeting about 5G going into their town. And when they got there, the company was there that was going to be putting it in. People started going up to the microphone saying, ever since they started this, we've been getting headaches, feeling worse than usual. The flowers have all been wilting. The dog hasn't been acting themselves. And they're blaming everything on 5G. And 3 hours later, they finally get the company representative to come up. And he goes, thanks, everybody, for your comments. I just want to let you guys know, we appreciate it, but we haven't turned it on yet. Now, when you have additional information, that would have been the first thing you might want to ask. Has it been turned on? Now, it's an anecdotal story that I offer there, but sometimes we get all upset about stuff that hasn't even happened and likely will not happen. I got another person over a couple of days ago said, you know, why would I use Donald Trump and AI to promote my show? Why don't I use Hitler next? To which I said, can you please tell me which person which persons or wars Donald Trump started or called for the genocide of, which I know he did not do. See, that is a low IQ answer. People go to see movies sometimes and they think they're documentaries and they're entertainment. That's a problem. All right. A while ago, people thought that they could get Apple phones, put them in the microwave and charge them. And it caused fires. Because people got it. The spaghetti tree hoax I talked about earlier, I'm going to actually put a photo of it in the article today that's up on the AmericaOutloud.news network because it's one of my favorites. I love that. So please, America Out Loud News, please run that. And then think about the things like this is your brand on drugs, the whole DARE campaign. I mean, these things made you feel like that there was going to be drug dealers on every corner in every school waiting to offer you some pot. That never happened, right? But Nancy Reagan, she was very, very easy to make people gullible to think that that was going to happen in the future. Or whenever we'd be driving, and I still do this to my kids, oh, you can't turn the lights on, we'll get pulled over. And so it's illegal to keep the lights on inside your car, right? It's not true, right? It's just annoying to have lights on in the middle of the night while your kids are in the back yelling and screaming. Things that we tell people that they become gullible. Well, think about the larger stories now. So when I talk about things that could be harmful to your health, when I talk about government policies that really don't seem to jive well in the overall scheme of things, which IQ are you? Hope I honored your time well here on this April Fool's Day. I will see you all later on Wednesday. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Make sure you go over to patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened and subscribe. Help support the show. Be bold, America.